Somehow or another, you've messed up. We've all messed up at one time or another. And I don't know, maybe you've messed up lately, but I've got good news for you. You can move on just because you've messed up. And a lot of us are messing up these days. A lot of people are messing up. But you can move on. I had the privilege this week of spending about 15 hours of counseling and talking and discipling with people who messed up. In fact, for one morning I left at 3:30 in the morning here at the church. I could hear the roosters crowing at 3:30, talking with someone about messing up and praying about messing up. We all mess up. Did you hear about the man, Glenn James, the homeless man that messed up? He found $42,000, according to the article I read, $2,000 of cash, $40,000 of cashier check. Glenn James turned it in. He turned in, a homeless man turned in $42,000. Well, according to the report I read this week, he was given a reward of over $100,000 because of his honesty. I don't know Glenn James, but I hope he knows how to spend that $100,000 at being homeless. But I want to share with you what God has got on my heart, has been beating on my heart today, and it has to do in this week, a couple of days, another chance. You've got another chance today. And that's the title of the message, Another Chance. I heard about a man that went to the dentist, and he told the dentist, he said, Doc, I've got a toothache. I've got an abscess tooth. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And he said, Doc, I need this tooth pulled. And so the dentist said, all right, sit in this chair. The man sat in the chair. He said, open your mouth. He opened his mouth. The dentist looked in his mouth for about a minute. He said, sir, I hate to tell you, but you got false teeth. Sometimes we mess up. Let me tell you what somebody has described about the 21st century. Messing up. Here's a description of the 21st century. It sums it all up. Our phones are wireless. Our cooking is fireless. Our cars are keyless. Our food is fatless. Our tires are tubeless. Our dress is sleeveless. Our youth are jobless. Our leaders are shameless. Our relationships are meaningless. Our attitude is careless. Our wives are fearless. Our babies are fatherless. Our feelings are heartless. Our education is valueless. Our children are mannerless. And everything is becoming less. But still our hopes are endless. In fact, we are speechless. And Congress is clueless. And our president is worthless. And the church said, amen. Mess up. I didn't write that, by the way. I just ran across that. We mess up, but we got to move on. We got to move on. We got to move on. We mess up, but we got to move on because God wants us to mature. And maybe somebody, you today, you know that your relationship is really not what it ought to be. You may have messed up. Maybe your relationship with Jesus, you just know you need to be spending more time reading the Bible rather than watching television or playing on the computer. But you today is a different day for you. Maybe you say, well, you know, I'm not really spending that intimate time. I'm undisciplined in the morning. I go all day long and forget about praying. You may today have somebody on your heart that you know that is not saved, and you want to go and talk with them. Last night, the Lord burdened my heart to go talk with a man. I was thinking about it as we were singing, How Great Thou Art. When I sing that song, I don't know about y'all, but I think about Brother Sonny every once in a while. Sonny Prince, he loved that song. He sang that song. I was thinking about him a moment ago. I was out visiting last night. It was about close to 9 o'clock, and I was at a man's house, 83 years old. He's not a Christian. And I was talking with him about how great thou art, talking with him about Brother Sonny. Do you know somebody today that's not a Christian that you got them on your mind, but you just need to go and talk with them. You just need to call them. You just need to send them a card. Sometimes we mess up. In fact, we all mess up, but we got to move on. You know what? When I mess up, I don't know if y'all ever mess up or not, but when I mess up, you know what? I'm ready to move on. I say, Lord, I thank you for your precious blood. When we mess up, it makes the blood of Jesus very precious. When we mess up, it makes the cross of Christ powerful, the power of the cross, whereby we're crucified with Christ. It makes the Word of God like a treasure to our heart when we mess up. In fact, when we mess up, hey, listen to me, sometimes we've got to learn to forgive ourselves. You know what I'm talking about? And there's some of you today that you messed up, but you just keep beating yourself up. You just keep beating yourself black and blue. Well, I'm stupid and I'm an idiot and I can't believe I did that. Well, you got to move on. You mess up, but you got to move on. We serve a God of another chance. And you see, the Lord doesn't want us to stay in a state where we are feeling guilty and condemned. Rather, the Lord wants us to move on and make a difference, mature. We are to mature and grow in the Lord and serve the Lord with gladness and be a Spirit-filled Christian. Are you a Spirit-filled Christian today? Have you messed up? But have you said, Lord, I know that I messed up, but I thank you. You said if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus cleanses us and makes us white as snow, wipes the slate clean. No more condemnation, no more guilt. Listen to me, folks. Today we just need to say, praise God, I'm clean. I'm forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. And we mess up, and Lord, I've messed up, but I forgive myself. I know you forgive me, and I want to move on. I want to move on. I want to move on. I want to be a mature Christian. I don't want to be a baby Christian anymore. My feelings on my shoulder and finding myself gossiping on the Facebook and sending messages, text messages that I know aren't becoming of a child of God. I've been, maybe somebody here says, you know, I've been watching some stuff on television or I've been involved in some stuff that I know that it's not pleasing to God. And I'm ready to move on. I've messed up, but I want to move on. I want to become the man of God, the woman of God God's called me to be. And so, having said that, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to a man that messed up in the Bible. But he had to move on. He learned he had to move on. I talk with people every once in a while that are in their 60s and 70s, some in their 80s. They've messed up and they're still in that bogged down. They're still in a rut. They can't move on. They messed up in a church somewhere. They messed up in a family relationship somewhere. They messed up in a marriage somewhere. They messed up with the children somewhere. And they're just spinning their wheels. But in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, if you've got your Bibles, turn there. And if you would, stand to your feet as we read just two verses of Scripture. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but I believe this will be an encouragement to your heart, beloved, when you see that others have messed up. Mark, chapter 14, if you would stand, as we read the wonderful, infallible, inerrant, eternal Word of God. And the message today is this. Another chance, and where we're going in the message is primarily two parts. Number one, others who've messed up. I've got a book right here that shows me a lot of people have messed up. I'm glad that's why God gave us the Bible, to show us that there was not perfection. I'm not excusing sin by any form or fashion. I realize there's a consequence when we mess up, but we got to move on regardless of the consequence. And here in Mark chapter 14, I want to zero in as we get in the context of Mark 14 in verse number 50. Mark 14, verse 50. Here the Lord Jesus has been in the garden and he's been with his disciples. You're well aware of the account, the setting. And Judas, along with the priest and those who would arrest Jesus, came and they are in the process of doing that. Now notice, we pick up in chapter 14 and verse 50. If you're there, say amen. And they all forsook him and fled. That means all the disciples. That means everybody. They forsook the Lord and fled. But notice verse number 51. In verse 51. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him. And then look at verse 52. In verse 52. He left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Who was this young man? Why did he not give us the name? Notice we're reading from the Gospel of Mark. Who was Mark? Who was this man that ran and fled with the other disciples? Why did he run? And well, we're going to talk about all of that, and you're going to hopefully see crystal clear in a moment. When we mess up, we got to move on and mature and become mission-minded and serve the Lord with gladness. Let's pray and ask God to help us to apply the truth of his word to our heart, not just to hear it, but to evaluate, examine, and look at our own life to see maybe we've messed up lately, or maybe we're messed up and we don't even realize we're messed up. What's worse than messing up and moving on is not even realizing you've messed up and not even moving on. Father, now I thank you for your precious living word, Lord Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about your will. It's all about your glory. And we come now with thanksgiving in our heart. I thank you, Father, for giving us another day. And the church said, glory, glory, glory. Lord, you've been good to me. You've been good to us, Father. You've just poured out blessings on us. And Father, I confess before this congregation, Lord, there are times when I've messed up. But I thank you, Father. You're my heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And you know all about me. You know my frame. You know, Father God, I'm weak and helpless. But Jesus, you're my refuge and strength of every present help and trouble. And I praise God that you'll help us to get honest with you today. Lord, I'm convinced that you put this on my heart for a reason. There's some of us today that have messed up. And there's some of us today that, Father, need to break free and move on. God, we can look back in the past and see where the liar, the deceiver, the adversary, the slanderer, who has deceived and misled, and we've yielded, Father, to the temptations of the enemy. I pray, God, that you'll rebuild the broken down walls. And not only that, God, but for your glory, you'll tear down the strongholds of the Satan and his principalities and powers. We thank you, Jesus. You've won the battle. You stripped and spoiled principalities, overcame them. Lord, we see that they're generational curses and they're things in our life that we can't even explain. But God, you know us. You made us. You formed us in our mother's womb. You bought us with your own blood. And we pray now for breakthroughs. We pray now for liberation and victories, Father. Today would be wrought right here for your glory. God, please, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us in this place. Lord, we're ever consciously aware that you're listening, you're watching. You know us better than we know ourselves. And so we come to you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we just pray, Father, as we open up our lives before you, to get honest with you and with each other, and then with ourselves. Lord, you'll help us to move on. We're thanking you, God, that you're going to break through today in hearts. We're thanking you, Father, that, Lord, things that have happened in the past, healing's going to take place. We bless you, Lord, that there's going to be restoration and reconciliation to take place. A new change relationship because of your Spirit, because of the balm of Gilead, because our God, you said you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. We love you today and bless you today and praise you now. God, just be high lifted up. We thank you for the time of praise. We bless you, Father, again for who you are. Oh, thank you for saving me. Thank you, God, for not leaving me in the state that I was in. And Lord, I pray now you lead us on. Help us to be mature in you, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, and take up a cross and follow you. Lord, we don't want to just exist. We don't want to just occupy space here on earth. Father, we want to really make a difference and really let you have your will and way with us. I pray, Father, for those who, Lord, have gotten cold and indifferent, and those, our God, that need to be brought under the fire, that the fire will burn us and burn out the dross and the carnality and the indifference and the lukewarmness and the apathy. Oh, blessed Spirit of the living God, may your anointing and may our God, your filling today. I'm thirsty and hungry for you. I confess, God, I can't fulfill my role as a godly husband or a godly dad. Oh, Lord, I can't fulfill my role as a man of God, as a pastor, unless you fill me, unless you cleanse me. And I pray now for every blood-washed child of yours, Lord, today, that God, that be a fresh cleansing in our heart, a cleansing in our mind, a cleansing in our attitude, a cleansing, Father, in our actions and our reactions, and deep down within us, we thank you now for again the power of the cross that crucifies the flesh and the precious cleansing blood. Oh, blessed God, we dedicate this time to you and thank you, Lord. We treasure it, Lord. What a privilege, dear God, you've given us, Father, to be your children at a time such as this. And we ask you, God, to change hearts, save the lost. Father God, convict the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Come, Lord, and bring us, Lord, in a palace of praise, an attitude of gratitude, a times of refreshing in your presence. And we thank you now, praise you for what you're going to do. We ask it in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. And all God's people said, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Question. How many of you have ever played baseball or softball? Let me see your hand. You start off at home plate. For a moment, imagine you're standing at home plate. Here is home plate right here. The first thing you do when you hit the ball, hopefully you hit the ball, then you run to what base? First base. Imagine first base is right here. You've got to go to first base before you go to second base. And then in order to go home, you got to go where? To third base. And then from third base, you go home. Can I tell you what God spoke to my heart about this week? About hitting a home run for Jesus. It seems that first base for a Christian is being saved. That is doing things God's way. You got to go to first base before you go to third base or home plate. You've got to be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. Except for a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Tell me, are you born again? Tell me, have you tasted of God's grace? Tell me, have you passed from death into life? Tell me, has there ever been a time in your life when you know that you know that you know? I didn't just say you got religion. Talked with a man this week that was talking about he wasn't sure if he was saved or not. He said something happened back there and he's been doing his own thing. And anyway, I hope that you got that absolute assurance. First base is being saved, doing things God's way, not our way, God's way. How many believe that we got to come God's way? The book says we got to come God's way. It's not our works. It's not who we are. It's not what we've done. It's what he's done. It's who he is. It's based on the finished works of Calvary, the substitutionary sacrifice and atoning death of the Son of the living God. Have you ever by faith received him? Have you ever by faith said, Jesus, I know I can't save myself, and I'm trusting in you and you alone. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. First base. Have you been to first base? If you've been to first base, say amen. Amen. Have you been there? Well, if you go to first base, for a Christian, you're not content with staying on first base. You've got to move on to second base. What is second base? Here's what the Lord showed me. First base is being saved God's way. Second base is not only being saved, but praise God, when we get to second base, it's about surrender. It's about letting God have his, not only his way, but having God's word. Coming under the authority of God's word. Has there ever been a point in your time, in your life, child of God, when you know that you surrender, you wave the white flag and said, Jesus, I know it's not about me. I can't live this Christian life. I know it's not only about your way, but I know it's about your word. Has there ever been a time, listen to me, and maybe there has, but maybe lately you've not really been surrendering to the word of God. Do you come under the authority of the word of God? Do you let it be a lamp unto your feet, a light in your path? Are you really surrendered to the Lordship of Christ today? The fact is, many of us are doing our own thing. The fact is, many of us are not taking heed to what the Word of God says. And I'm saying this because I love you. But some of us, we've heard it, and we've been in church, and we can say it, and we hear the preacher preaching about it. But when we leave the doors on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, we're not really surrendered to the Word of God. God says, this is my word. Learn it and love it and live it. That's not legalistic, by the way. It's just simply a step. Have you been to first base? Amen. Have you been to second base? Some of you have not been to second base. Some of you are not at second base right now. You're content with being saved. You're satisfied with just going to heaven. But you are missing out, child of God, on the best, what God has for you. Some of us today, listen to me, look at me. Some of us today, I'm not saying you've done it deliberately. I'm not saying you've had a rebel heart. I'm just saying whether knowingly or unknowingly, you've gotten out from under the Word of God, what God's Word says about you and me. Well, in order to go to first base, you got to go to second base. In order to go to second base, and in order to go to third base, you got to go to second base. Well, what's third base? We go first, we're saved. We're saved the way of God, how God tells us we're to come to Him, trusting in His shed blood, not like Cain did, but like Abel did. And then we come to second base. After we come to first base, we realize God's got much more for us. Some of us are content and satisfied with just coming to church every once in a while and just being religious. You know, the world's full of religion. Our neighborhoods are full of people that are religious. They'll talk with you about the Bible, but they're not making a difference. They're just kind of occupying space. I pray that today you'll not just be religious, but you'll say, Lord, I want to go further with you. How many want to go further with the Lord today? One, two hands, three hands. Some of you really don't want to go further. You were honest today. You don't really want to go further, and that's why you didn't raise your hand. And that's the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. Many of you don't really want to go further. You don't feel like God's got much more for you. And it can be very obvious when you look at your lifestyle and you look at what God's doing in your life. I'm not saying that to be critical. I'm just saying if you get satisfied with your life and you get content with your life and you just kind of get complacent with your life, you're not going to hunger and thirst for righteousness and realize that God has got much more for you. And so you got to go to second. Well, what's third base? Not the way of God being saved, not the word of God being surrendered. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Some of us today, we've been slipping, haven't we? We've been watching some stuff, movies and DVDs, and been involved in some stuff that you know is really not becoming of a child of God. And today, God's wanting us to come clean, mess up, and move on. Third base is this, spirit-filled. Not being saved, not being surrendered, spirit-filled. What do I mean? Not by God's way and God's word, but God's will. Listen to me. God's will is that you be a spirit-filled Christian. But you know what the fact is? Far too many people sitting in church today are flesh-filled. They're not spirit-filled. They want their way. You just let something happen. You just let some little problem occur in the church, and you can see real obvious how flesh-filled we are. We're dominated by the flesh. We're led by the flesh. We're controlled by the flesh, the things of the world, rather than the things of the Spirit. Today, some of us have messed up there, and your flesh is in control. It's what I want to do. It's where I want to go. It's how I want to dress. It's what I want to watch. It's how I want to treat them. It's what I want to do with my time. It's what I want to do with my money. It's what I want to do with my family. Spirit-filled. Be not drunk with wine or success, but be filled with the Spirit. Can you tell me today that you know the Spirit of God has got control of you? No. A lot of us would say, Brother Pastor, I messed up there. Let's be honest. I messed up there. We all messed up. But don't stay in that messed up state. Move on with God. You mess up, move on, and mature in the Lord. But I got to go to first base before I go to second base. And I got to go to second base before I go to third base. And I got to go to third base before I go where? Home plate. What's home plate? We not only go to first base saved the way of God, second base surrendered to the word of God, and third base spirit filled the will of God, but number four, serving God, the work of God. The work of God. You know why some of us are not doing more for the kingdom of God and the glory of God? Because we're not spirit-filled. Because we're not surrendered. Maybe we've been saved, but we've not surrendered to the will of God. I'm telling you the honest gospel truth. When I open up the Bible, I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty. I'm just telling you the truth of the Word of God. When I see that God saves somebody, I see that His will is that they surrender to His Word, that they be Spirit-filled Christian. Be not drunk with wine, word of success, but be filled with the Spirit. That is, pleroustē, be under control. And then, if you're a Spirit-filled Christian, you're going to want to serve the Lord. And the reason today, a lot of people, can I say something? I'm not saying this ugly. I'm not saying this for any other reason. I'm just testing you, okay? Some of you never signed the paper about Surrender Sunday. You know why? You've decided you're going to do your own thing. Nobody's going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to sign it. Maybe some people did sign it. Maybe some didn't because they forgot or they didn't have a copy. But some of us today, we just decided we're not going to do it. And it could be very obvious. Only you know that, and only God knows that. But some of you are not going to do it because you're your own boss. You're doing your own thing. And God's saying, I still love you. I still got a plan for you, a purpose. It's bigger than you. It's brighter than you. It can bless you immeasurably. But how many believe we've got to do things God's way? And that's the big battle royal. Once you become a Christian, the big battle royal is letting Jesus have His way. I want to tell you about a man. As I open up this blessed book right here, the message is this: another chance. God's giving you another chance today. It might be your last chance. It might be the last time you sit in church today. Listen to me. We're not promised a tomorrow. You know that. I wish I didn't have to say that, but some of you even feeling uncomfortable right now. The Spirit of God is showing you that there's some areas, and I come to church because I want God to minister to my heart. I don't want to have a checklist and say, well, I've done that. Leave no different than I was when I came in. I want to say, Jesus, you know me, and God, I'm weak, and I've got flaws, I've got faults, I've got blemishes. Holy Spirit, send me in love. Do it gently, Holy Spirit, but don't leave me like I am. I want to be it. I want your blessing. I want your anointing. I want Jesus while I've got breath, while I've got time to make a difference in this world. I open this book right here and I find down through the ages a lot, many have messed up, but they had to move on. They messed up, but they had to move on. For example, if you look at the seven dispensations that dispensationalists tell us are found in the Bible, you find out there's the state of innocency. Secondly, the state of conscience. Third, the state of civil government. Fourth, the state of patriarchal rule. The fifth, Mosaic law. Sixth, grace. Seventh, millennium. I look in all seven of those dispensations. You say, what are those, Brother Pastor? Those are eras. Those are time frames. Watch this. When God came and gave revelation. I want to give you three words. Remember them. Revelation, response, and repercussions. Revelation, response, and repercussions. Revelation, response, and repercussions. What I mean? Every time you look in the Bible, you can see, for example, with Adam and Eve, God gave them revelation. Come to Him and live in the garden, have dominion over the animals, but do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In the day you eat it, you'll surely die. That was the revelation. That was God's will. All right, they had to respond. Today you're having to respond. The preacher's preaching. I want you to know, you're not judging me and saying, well, he's speaking correctly, and God's judging you on what I'm saying. You're not judging me. God's judging you on everything I'm saying. See, God, the Holy Spirit's looking at you. And rather than you saying, well, he said it right, and I'm not sure about this, and I don't think it's right, and that's not found in the Bible, and da-da-da-da-da. The Holy Spirit saying to you, what I'm saying, the Holy Spirit saying, now how you responding? Now how you responding? Now how you responding? Now how you responding? When God's revealed will is brought, then we are held accountable how we respond. Adam and Eve didn't respond properly. They sinned. Sin came into the world. See, there's revelation, there's response to what God tells us to do, and then there's repercussion. They were ejected out of the garden. But wait a minute. They messed up, but they had to move on. They had to move on. And then they had to mature. And thank God they did. And that's what God's saying to you. In the days of Noah, he messed up, but he had to move on. God gave him the revelation. And Noah had a response. And then there was repercussions. Listen to me, folks. Sometimes we forget the idea that there's repercussions. Doesn't make us not a child of God. But how many believe that our sin finds us out? Come on, talk to me.
Be sure your sin will find you out. And what a man sows, that's what he reaps. It's the repercussions. I'm not talking about blatant drunkenness, and I'm not talking about immorality as such. I'm just saying, digging in your heels, saying no to God. Just saying, God, I know what you want, but here's what I've already decided I'm going to do this. God allows us to do what we want to do. But there are repercussions sometimes when we get out of his will. There's repercussions sometimes when we do our own thing and we forget that. And then sometimes, you know what? We wonder, why is all this stuff happening to me? I know there's tests and trials, both for the just and the unjust. Can I suggest some of us may be going through some stuff in our life because we're not lined up to the will of God, the way of God, the word of God, and the work of God. We're not doing what God wants us to do. Then we look at Abraham. He messed up. Revelation, response, and then repercussions. You know the story. Look at Moses. Revelation, response, and then repercussions. We mess up, but we got to move on. We got to move on. We got to move on. And some of you need to move on today. Oh, I love you, but I got to tell you, you've got to move on with God. You know, if I was sitting out in the church today, and this was Sunday, and I was out of the will of God, I wouldn't want to hear this message. I'd be trying to shut it out. If I was sitting out there and I was out of the will of God, I wouldn't want to hear this message. I'd be critical toward the pastor. I'd probably say, well, who does he think he is? And who does he think he, who's, how does he know about me? I wouldn't want to hear it. But you know what? If I got honest with the Holy Spirit, I'd say, Jesus, it's not about the preacher. It's about you. And it's about your word. I would have to do some examination if I really want to get things right with God. And I'd have to break, I'd have to bend, I'd have to subdue, I'd have to be submissive to what God was saying to me today. He loves me. I've got a relationship with him. Glory be to his name. Then Moses, he messed up. But he had to move on. And all through the scriptures, Peter, Paul, they all messed up. Here's a young man that messed up. Listen to me. A man on a mission that messed up, but he had to move on. And that's the message. Another chance. I heard about a man speaking of messing up, a man that was got a BMW, a senior adult. He was up in his 80s, but he was reliving his younger years. He got a BMW. He was riding down the road going about 70, then 80, then 90, then 100, then 110, 120. About that time, a blue light came on, and the man was pulled over off the side of the road. And the police officer got out of his car. He said, sir, you were going 120 miles an hour. He said, I've got 10 minutes left before I'm getting off work. Today is Friday. And today is Friday. And so if you can give me a reason why you were speeding, going 120 miles an hour that I've never heard before, he said, I'll let you off the hook. If you can give me a reason I've never heard before, I'll let you off the hook. He looked at the man. Speed 120 miles an hour on a BMW. The wind was blowing his hair. He was reliving his younger years. The man looked at the police officer. He said, here's the reason I was speeding. I'm going to give you a reason you never heard before. He said, I was married one time. My wife ran off with a police officer, and I thought you were bringing her home. The police officer said, go ahead, sir. You're off the hook. Did you hear about the lady that was people were always talking about her all the time? And they were gossiping, and they were, you know, rumor mill and all that stuff. You know, that stuff dishonors God too. Facebook and all that stuff, you know, bad things and talking about people and being critical and stuff like that. Sometimes we don't think that's as big a sin or that's as big a wrong, but it can be. I don't know, but it can be. Anyway, I heard about a lady that told her pastor one day. She said, Pastor, what do you think? She was being, people were kind of criticizing her. And she said, Pastor, what do you think? She said, if I live right, I dress right, and I do right, do you think I'll come to a point where people will see what I've got, and then they'll want it too? She said, do you think everybody will be that way? The pastor said, Sister, if you put on a coat of white feathers, white as the driven snow, and if you put on wings shiny as the wings of Gabriel, he said, somebody somewhere is going to mistake you for a blackbird and shoot you. That's about the truth, if you think about it. Mess up, move on, and mature. How many of you messed up? How many are messed up right now? And you need to move on with God. You know, deep down inside, there's not that peace. There's not that joy. There's not that contentment. There's not that fulfillment. There's not that purpose in living. And there's depression, and there's guilt, and there's condemnation, and there's strife, and there's envy, and there's jealousy. Oh, God says, another chance. We come to the book of Mark. And I want to talk last about this man. A man on a mission who messed up. But he moved on. And he made a difference. Take your Bibles and turn me to the book of Acts chapter 12. Look with me please in the book of Acts chapter 12. This man, who was this man that fled naked? Who was this man that the Bible says left him and ran? We are first introduced to this man in the book of Acts chapter 12. And here's the context. Peter's in prison and the church is praying for him. And all of a sudden we're introduced to this young man that messed up. A young man that messed up. We'll look up please in Acts chapter 12. Look, here's the first reference in the scripture as far as Luke's writing in Acts. He's talking about the Pentecost, day of Pentecost, the birth of the church. God's blessing. The church is moving on. Acts 12. Look at verse number 12. Peter's in prison. There's some folks praying for him. That's the context, all right? Persecution has broken out. Chapter 12, verse 12. If you're there, say amen. And when he had considered the thing, he came, that is Peter did. He was in prison. And God supernaturally loosed him. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Huh. A man named Mark. On a mission. Who messed up. But had to move on and mature. Further, read. He says, Mark, where there were many gathered praying. And then, etc., etc. Now, I want you to skip over to chapter 13. And verses 1 through 5. Zero in on verse 5. Chapter 13 of the book of Acts. Mark is a man on a mission, but he messed up. He messed up. He messed up like we mess up. But he didn't stay in that mess up state. He moved on. You can move on today. God wants you to move on today. God's got a bigger plan for you. God's got a brighter future for you. And God's got much more for you and for me. In the book of Acts chapter 13, here's the context. The church is growing. God is multiplying believers. They're hungry. They want other people. Listen to me. They want other people to find out about this Jesus. Have you gotten to a place where it don't matter to you about talking to people about Jesus? Have you gotten to a place where it doesn't matter about inviting somebody to come to church? Have you gotten to a place where you don't even think about that? It's just, well, let's see. On Sunday, I got to go to church. But then Monday and Tuesday, I'm doing this. And Wednesday, I'm doing this. And Thursday, I'm doing that. Make time for God. Put God in your schedule, okay? Redeem the time. The days are evil. And no wonder we need a mighty Holy Ghost revival in America. Here the church is growing. And the church says, you know what? We want to send out some missionaries. We want to make a difference. We don't want to just sit here in the four walls of the church. We want to carry the word of God outside the four walls. How many want to do that these days? Come on. Anybody here? Anybody here? Did you have a chance to talk to somebody last week about Jesus? Have you talked with anybody lately about him? Have you invited anybody to church lately? Have you told them we got an early service, 8:30? Have you invited them to Sunday school? Have you told them about the Bible prophecy? Hey, there's opportunities. All I'm telling you is there's opportunities to tell them. Have you talked with them about the Son of the Living God? See, we mess up, but we got to move on and we got to mature. In chapter 13, there's three men that are fixing a launch out in a missionary journey, sharing the gospel. Who are they? Paul, Barnabas, and Luke, chapter 15, verse 3. You there? Chapter 13 of Acts, verse 3. Let's back up to verse 4. This church fasted and prayed. They laid their hands on them. Look at this verse 4. And they sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and thence they sailed to Cyprus. Look at verse 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also, help me out somebody, John. To minister. Notice that word minister. Hyperetes is the word. Attendant. John is a helper. John Mark. His name is John Mark. We read that over in Acts 12. John Mark says, I want to go too. I want to be a part of what God's doing. How many want to be a part of what God's doing? That's just it. We got to see what God's doing and join him. Hallelujah. Join him. He's got the power. He's got the prerogative. He's got the initiative. He's got the will. We got to look and find out what God's doing and join him.
as God's working on your family, as God's working on people that you know, and they're asking questions, they're seeking, join God. Recognize what God's doing and join Him as a vessel. That's how we get in His will and not in His way. His way, His word, His will, His work. Saved, surrendered, Spirit-filled, serving where you at. Now, keep reading. He was their minister. He was their servant. John's hanging around them. John Mark said, I want to go too. Look at chapter 13. Here's a man on a mission. He messed up, but he moved on. And you can move on. Look at this, chapter 13. And notice down at verse 13. They've launched out. They're preaching the gospel, making a difference. Whether it's here in Jasper County or Trinidad or wherever, God help us in our home. Our circle of influence, chapter 13, verse 13. You see it? Chapter 13, verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And, help me out somebody. John Mark, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Mark's a man on a mission. But he messed up. He messed up. He messed up. Why in the world did John Mark leave this missionary journey? Why did John say, I'm not going. I'm going back home. Was he homesick? Why did he mess up? We can only speculate, but there are at least four speculations why John Mark messed up. Number one. The first speculation is John Mark didn't want to cross the mountains. How many know that serving God's not easy? I don't see your hand. How many of you know that serving God is not easy, but it's always rewarding, getting it, Brother Phil? You always tell us that. It's always rewarding. But look at me, listen to me. If you're a little wimp and you got your feelings on your shoulders, you will not do anything for the kingdom of God. If you're one of them little babies that got to have a pacifier every time something goes wrong, you're not going to do much for the kingdom of God. If you're one of those that you got your, something on your shoulder, daring somebody to knock it off, you're not going to go anywhere with God. The first thing you need to do, and I need to do, say, Jesus, I surrender to you, because you're not going to be appreciated, remember, like you always feel like you should, da 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 da. I'm telling you, serving God is not easy, but thank God it's reward. And Jesus said, take a cross and follow after me. Why did John Mark bail out? Can't count on John Mark. How many know somebody right today? You can't count on. You can't count on. Come Sunday school and teach. Waters. Wednesday night. Sunday night. Be involved in mission. Come to church on Sunday. You can't count on them. Why not? They're irresponsible. They're immature. You can't count on them. They messed up and they're still messed up. Listen to me. You might know somebody right now today that's messed up. But God's saying, man, you need to pray for them. You need to pray for them. You need to get a hold of God for them. Watch this. We're going to go somewhere in a moment. We're going somewhere. Hang with me. Secondly, Mark might have said he was mad at Paul. Some say he was mad at Paul. He's angry at Paul. Why would he be angry at Paul? I'll tell you why. Because now Paul was in charge. Now Paul was a man who had the vision and the message. And Mark was... Anybody know who Mark was? Anybody know who Mark was kin to? Barnabas. Some believe he was his cousin. Some say his uncle.
That's kinship. Barnabas.
You know, Uncle Barnabas. Uncle Barney. Or Cousin Barney. Here's Mark with Barnabas and Paul. And all of a sudden they're out on this missionary journey. I've seen it happen. And all of a sudden the travel and the boat and then they're going to villages and everybody's not liking them and loving them and jumping up, hooting, hollering as they share the gospel. Some of them aren't liking it very good and they got trouble on this side and on and on and on. Mark may be mad at Paul. I don't know really why he quit, but he quit. It could have been that Mark had malaria. Some say he had malaria. That's why he dropped out. How many know that you can get malaria from mosquitoes? When we went over there in Guyana, man, they've got some monster mosquitoes in Guyana. They don't just take a drop of blood. They take a pint of blood, amen? It's like a 16-penny nail stick. I'm talking about some giant mosquitoes. Some say that Mark might have had malaria. That's why he bombed out. Others say, no, he wanted a little law integrated in this message. He's a Jew now, keep in mind, according to Bible scholars. And so Mark wants to, he hears Paul preaching about Gentiles can be saved. But he's still hung up in that legalism. Wait a minute, Paul. You got to add the ceremonialism to it. You got to add all these legalistic rules to it, Paul. And Paul says, hey, Mark, no. That was for the Jew, but the Gentile, by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone. Maybe had a fall out with Paul over that. I don't know, but here's what I'm saying. Mark was a man on a message. He messed up. He messed up, and he left. That leads us to our next point. Mark, a man on a mission, messed up, but he moved on. He moved on, he matured, and he was actively involved in mission work. Turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Look with me, please, in verse 36. Mark's messed up. Another chance. God says you can have another chance right now. Seize the opportunity, child of God. Don't let it slip past your mind and past your life right now. You'll be glad you did it. You'll be thankful that you came to church today. God began to rekindle those flames of passion, devotion to him.
Acts chapter 15.
Look at me, verse 36. Acts 15. And some days after Paul, now they come back. Paul and Barnabas, they continued on their missionary journey.
John Mark
bails out. And they're continuing on. Now they're getting ready to go back again.
All right, that's the city.
Look at chapter 15, verse 36. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And some days after, Paul had said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of God and see how they do. And Barnabas determined, look at this, Barnabas determined to take who with him? To take who with him? Look at this, verse 37. Barnabas determined to take with them Mark, whose surname is, or John, whose surname is Mark. Look at verse 38. Look at verse 38. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them who departed. The word departed is where we get our word apostasy. He departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went out not with them to the work. And the contention, this word contention will use two times in the New Testament. Here and in Hebrews 10:24. The contention, they thought that they would settle this matter, resolve this issue. But the more they talked, the hotter the conversation got. And the contention was so sharp between them, Paul and Barnabas, that is, that they departed sunder one from the other. And so Barnabas, look at this, Barnabas took Mark, a man who messed up, but he moved on. Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas, verse 40, and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went throughout Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Mark messed up, but Barnabas, hey, how many know you need a Barnabas in your life? How many will be a Barnabas to somebody today? You know some people, teenagers here. Maybe you want to go further with God, and maybe you bypass. You know why I think this is my personal opinion? Hey, I'm going to a close here, but this is very important. I believe personally that Mark was saved, no doubt. But he'd gone to first base, but he bypassed second base. He wasn't really surrendered to the will of to the word of God. Mark went the first, like some of us. Watch. Mark went the first base, but he said, all right, the word of God and surrendered and the spirit filled, the will of God. I'm not sure about all that. I'm saved. I just want to serve God. I'm going home. He bypassed second. He bypassed third. He wasn't ready. He hadn't really, and some of us today, maybe we're doing things, but we're not really surrendered to the word of God and spirit-filled the will of God. No wonder we're not serving God. We hadn't gone to second base and third base. Maybe you went there a while back, but you hadn't been there lately. And you know what? Here's what I hear. Well, I serve God, and I just don't have time. I'd rather be doing other things. I like these shows on television after all. About so-and-so time, I think football games come on today. Braves are playing. Falcons are playing. And you know, I like these shows that are coming on. And you know, I just think I'll kick my feet up and watch television and get me some tea, or I just think I might go down to shopping mall or whatever. And so what it is, it's you got to go back to second. You got to go back to third. And it's obvious that the reason you don't want to serve God is because you're not surrendered to the Word of God. And then you're not Spirit-filled the will of God. I'm telling you this. It's not legalistic. This is Bible. If you're going to go to first, second, and third, you're going to want to serve. How many believe that serving the Lord is a great privilege? Some of you don't believe that. I'm telling you, one day when you get to heaven, if the Bible is true, you'll be glad you did it. One day, I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm standing here. Now look at this. Now listen to me, folks. I love you regardless. You know that as your pastor. I'm going to love you whether you, and you're going to love me, I hope. But when I get to the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to have to say, Jesus, either I told him or I didn't tell him. It was much easier, Jesus, to be popular. And it was really much easier not to ruffle any feathers and get anybody mad and all that. So I took the easy road out, Jesus. I just told them some funny, some other things. I didn't really challenge them about their relationship with you. And the Lord's going to say, why didn't you do that? You want the approval of men more than my approval? And so that's what sometimes it can come down to in our own life. We want men's approval more than God's approval. I don't always pass the test. Hey, I mess up too, and I got to move on. And I want to mature. All right? Look in Colossians. We're coming to an end. Colossians chapter 4. Everybody needs a Barnabas. Colossians chapter 4. Mark, a man on a mission, messed up, but he moved on. You can move on today. God wants you to move on. Let go of that stuff that's keeping you from being the woman of God, the man of God, the daddy, the mama, the servant, that teenager. Listen to the teenagers. Be a soldier of the cross. Colossians chapter 4, look at this. Did Paul and John Mark ever reconcile? Yeah. Did Mark ever move on? Yeah. Did Mark make a difference? Yeah. Look at this, chapter 4. And verse chapter 4. Look at chapter 4. And look with me, please. In chapter 4, verse 10. Are you there? If you're there, say amen. And Paul's writing this church of Colossae. He'd never been there, keep in mind. He wrote this letter. He's sending it by the way of Epaphras or one of his other fellow servants. And he's countering false teaching, etc., etc. And then look with me, chapter 4, verse 10. Paul's writing this letter. You know John Mark that abandoned him? You know Paul that said, I'm not taking that John Mark with me. I'm taking Silas. Barnabas, you take John Mark. I'm out of here. Look at chapter 4, verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluted you. And who else? Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you've received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Wow. Turn over to the book of Philemon. Philemon, if you don't have time, just write it down. Turn to the book of Philemon. I love to get in the Word. I want you to see this. Philemon, it's the first book before you get to Hebrews, all right? Paul and Barnabas. Everybody needs a Barnabas. Everybody needs a mother like Mary. Mark's mama's name was Mary. She was praying for that boy. And then Paul. Everybody needs a Paul in their life. Maybe I'm acting like a Paul to some of you today. I've not arrived either, but Paul was hard. He knew what God would do in John Mark's life. He wasn't just pampering him. He said, John Mark, you got to toughen up. Be a soldier. We're in a war, John Mark. And look at this, Philemon. Y'all in Philemon? If you're in Philemon, hold up your Bible. Good, good, good. Look over here in chapter, there's only one chapter. Look at verse 24. Philemon was an owner who had a runaway slave named Onesimus. And Paul is writing to Philemon saying, forgive him, whatever he owes, I'll pay it. Now look at the closing remarks of Paul on this letter. Notice in verse 24. 3. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow helpers. Marcus was John Mark. Glory, glory, glory. Now, I want you to hold your place and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Mark's a man on a mission. He's making a difference. Praise God. He had to move on. We're going to look at one more scripture and we'll be done. Peter chapter 5. Look at Peter chapter 5, please. And you need to know that Mark was more or less like a secretary to Peter. Look at this. Oh, Mark messed up, but he moved on. Chapter 5 and verse 13. Are you there? Say amen if you're there. The church that is at Babylon. Peter writes to these scattered abroad Christians facing intense persecution. And other themes are integrated in 1 Peter. But he comes down to chapter 5 verse 13. The church is at Babylon elected together with whom? With you saluted you and so doth. Help me out somebody. Marcus who? Did Peter win Mark to the Lord? How many want to learn more about your Bible? Let me see your hand. How many don't care? I'm telling you, here is a great story about Mark that some of you dismissed. A man messed up, but he moved on. But one last passage we've done, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn back to the left. Turn back to the left. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll be done. Paul's writing his swan letter. Did Mark make it up? Did Mark mess up? Yeah. Did he move on? Yeah. Everybody needs a mother like Mary. Everybody needs a brother like Barnabas. Everybody needs a servant like Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul realizes time's gone. He realizes his head's fixing to be severed from his body. This is his swan song. He's in prison. Look what he says. You remember the man, Mark, that abandoned him? Don't take him. You can't count on him. He's not faithful. You just can't depend on him. Barnabas says, all right, I'll take him. And then Paul says, all right, me and Silas are going. But look what happens. He moved on and he matured. Something you can do and I can do. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look with me, please. In verse 11. Verse 11. For this is a message that needs to be preached. I'm convinced of it. And if you get honest with God, we've all messed up. We're all slipping in some areas. We're all sin addicts recovering. Hello. And you can play church if you want to today and act like, well, I hope somebody else gets something out of this message. Or you can be honest with God. And you know exactly what God's saying to you right this moment. Look at verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark. Verse 11, chapter 4, 2 Timothy. Only Luke's with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. Isn't that a great word? I feel like shout. Stand to your feet, would you?